Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be in the studio once again with my beautiful sisters. We have started a new series called Portable Sanctuary, and we have been studying it from the book of Joshua and how he was a portable sanctuary.
It's amazing.
And before, we always have great conversations in between time. I wish we could record it. Not always. But
some of it doesn't need to be on the radio.
Shelley had a really good point that we want her to start with, if she doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Are we the front and the back?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a couple of good points for once. I guess when we were just talking at last session and what we were reading in Exodus and what we were reading in Revelation, it's like, I mean, it just was so amazing that basically it was saying the same thing at the very beginning and at the very end.
Hmm. It's amazing, and Scripture will always support Scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can tell when something is being taken out of context. Mm. If we hear something being said and you feel that little check mm-hmm. in your spirit, you need to test it out with mm-hmm. the other places mm-hmm. of Scripture and be able to examine the Word of God in the context of Genesis to Revelation, because it will never not support itself.
Mm-hmm.
Never not. It will always. I don't even know. Is that real double negative? Does that work?
No.
Never not. She's a teacher. She's like, honey, that's not English.
But it's understandable.
There you go.
You can make sense of it. It'll work.
Anything works if it makes sense.
But let's just reference. Can we just the what
Which
we
verse?
Were looking at? It was in Leviticus, right?
Okay, Leviticus 26.
11.
And what we did is we examined in Leviticus 26, 11 through 13. It tells us that God dwells amongst us and walks amongst us, and he does not abhor us. He'll be our God, bring us out of slavery, and break the bars of yoke. Then if we go to Revelation 21, 3, it tells us again, God dwells amongst men. He lives with them, that he will be with his people. He will be their God, and they will be his people. And talks about wiping away all the tears. He is
God's the answer.
Present God. He is the answer. And remember, we began this series at looking at how the nation of Israel made a golden calf and made an idol and sat it on an altar and said, we're going to worship this and dance before it. And honestly, the way the Scripture has likened it, that day was a day of, the worst of vile of things that you could even imagine as far as the celebration went. And God cannot be near our sin. And so we ended with last week how when we sin, we have to deal with it. And Acts 3:19 promises us if we repent, return to God, times of refreshing will come.
Mm-hmm.
He will bring it back into our lives. So ultimately, we've been pointing for the last two weeks, I can't think. We've been looking at the fact that we are the temple. We are the temple. So I want us to read, who has the verse?
I do.
She does. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 17. And let's begin examining what it means that I am a sanctuary. Now, based on, if you guys could just sum up with your own words, what would you say I need to look like, you need to look like if we're a sanctuary before we read
safe.
It?
Safe.
Safe.
Mm.
Okay, from our verses we've read for the last 2 weeks. What else?
Y'all
safe. Okay.
safe.
Pure.
Holy.
Accepting. Loving. Unconditional.
Loving. I think it's loving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's read what the New Testament has to tell us about us as a temple.
Okay. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple.
Mm. Okay.
Do not fear man.
Oh, Hebrews 13:6. Yes, you know, the Lord is my helper. Mm-hmm. I should not be afraid of man.
That's,
I mean,
right.
It's like we should not, but we do.
But we do.
God forgive us. We listen to those minions.
Mm.
Right here, he tells us very clearly, you are God's temple. So if I am God's temple, that means that I have to respect myself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that means I have to take care of myself. That means that I will not put anything in myself or do anything with this person that could harm his temple. Because what does he say he will do to the one that destroys his temple?
He will destroy them.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the God of the New Testament actually doesn't like it when people mess with his temple?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a cultural mindset today that views the New Testament God as a God who does not go to battle. And God is always jealous for us. I think in Exodus 34:14, it says, I am a jealous God, and I am jealous for you. And that word jealous is Elkanah. And that means that God is jealous for our righteousness. And when we bring that which is unholy, unrighteous into this person, we actually displease God.
Right.
And we cannot play with Christianity and thinking that we can do things to this body and disrespect it as a child of God. And that's a hard teaching. Mm-hmm. That's a hard teaching. And when I taught this at the Open Door Mission, I was asked some of the hardest questions that I was like frozen. And I ended up just standing there because it's a loaded question. They go, well, what about suicide? Can a believer commit suicide? They started asking me stuff that, you know, and so I had to go in and talk with him. I said, what does Scripture say about the person? And so I began to show them that you're holy, that you're a priesthood, that you're a chosen nation, that you are co-heir to Christ, and that we are to protect that, okay? When we don't protect it, are we in the will of God? And they said no. And I go, so for anyone who is considering suicide, it's not an option. It's not an option. However, how do we handle, then somebody says, but what about my, and then, you know, a family member was named, and I can say the same thing. What about my cousin who I talked with? I can share testimony of a family member that I talked with her. I stood with her, and she bore testimony to me that she knew the Lord. 3 days later, she was found, and she was gone because she committed suicide, and it took 3 days because she had gone home, and nobody knew. They just thought she was at work. The very night that she bore testimony to me about her walk with God, she committed suicide. So what do we do then? And my answer to the group was, Scripture doesn't say it clearly, because there were people of faith in that room that their faith tells them you go to hell. And then there are people in the room that, and so they put me on the spot. I was like, God, this is so out of my ability, my realm, but I want to deal with it here. Scripture doesn't say what happens exactly. There is no exact sentence that says what happens to someone who is in suicide. However, Scripture does tell us that we cannot lose our salvation, but that does not give us an excuse, because as a believer of God, we must guard that which is created by God. And so I was blown away. I was not expecting this verse to bring up something so intense. But it's crazy, because that's what brought it to mind to this particular setting. And when I look at it, I'm thinking, I'm just wanting to walk pure.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the battle that somebody else is in.
Yeah. You just think what is going on in people's minds that are there, that are battling that, and how badly they're wanting this sanctuary with God and feel that it might be in the life to come. They're hoping, but according to this verse, it may not be.
Right.
But they can have it here now, no matter what is around
them,
no matter what they're going through, no matter what's going on in their head, the minions that are lying to their head, they can have these promises right now.
That's exactly it. And one of the things that I want us to get, and I you know, it's so easy sometimes for us to make the easy out in any circumstance, in any circumstance. But what it comes down to, I always ask myself, do I want to rob God of giving me a miracle? Do I want to rob God of providing the way for me in this circumstance so that I can see His holiness moving as the God who dwells amongst His people and is present with His people and wants to move in our behalf? So when it comes to reflecting on me, I am a temple, and you as a temple, what is it that you struggle with that could cause you to harm the temple?
Mine's food.
Oh, yeah.
Right
mine
now.
Mine too, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, I've
sure.
done, yeah. Exercise, I don't do that. So.
You're so
See, it's okay. your thoughts. It's what you, you see. It's what you read. It's what you witness. It's what you experience, and being able to filter the world, the worldliness out of everything. But Tara, I kind of wanted to just talk about, you know, when you're talking about the suicide, but you know, there's so many levels in between, like from eating to suicide
totally.
And all of that, and. You know, maybe more specifically like the addictions, because I think sometimes you talked about having a miracle. And, you know, God certainly is capable of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Absolutely.
Would always pray and expect a miracle. And especially with an addiction of anything. And, you know, sometimes God will instantly, you know, take those cravings and desires away, but sometimes God isn't going to do that. But does that mean that we turn our back on God?
No.
Right. What it means is you continue to do what God is asking you to do. And if that means, you know, seeking counseling, maybe it's being on some sort of a medication, but still you stay diligent in your prayer life and you repent. You admit, I'm a sinner. I have no control over this addiction.
And I need to.
And you need to have that control. And that is your prayer to God.
That's it.
So even if again, God may not take your desires or your cravings away instantly, but staying diligent, repenting, staying obedient, staying in the Word, I mean, all of those things will help as you face that addiction and go towards your recovery.
Mm-hmm. And I'm loving it because I am seeing Shelly shine as the counselor.
That's right.
Totally.
Yay. I learned something.
Yay. You know what? And as you were talking, it reminded me of the ages and stages of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, at first it was intimate in the relationship, and then it was that sin got in the camp, and then it was ritualistic to get back in. Isn't that the case when we have something that is got a grip on us? It is where we literally have to go in. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and even though it is hard for me to do, I'm going to go in and do exactly what she said. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to move towards God, even though I do not feel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how that is? That is a good ritual in taking care of the temple of God.
And it doesn't mean that we won't fail.
No.
And it doesn't mean
it's going to be easy either.
No, absolutely not. But the thing that's so critical is that when you have that relationship, God will... He can pull you out every time you backslide, every time you make a mistake, every time you go buy drugs whatever. As long as you have that relationship and you stay faithful, you can get through it.
And what's going to happen is in the process of time.
Absolutely.
You're going to see that obedience is honored.
Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage you to look at every time that you say no to a substance that is controlling you. You look at that as a miracle.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That is a God-given, not this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
It may not be big, grand, explosive.
Yeah.
Right. But it's every little step, because God isn't with us just in the big major things. He's with us
in the moment.
In the moment, every second of every day.
And being that portable sanctuary goes back to the very beginning, the first week when Tanya said it is being that. Where we dwell with Him in the moment.
Right.
Dwelling in every single moment. Because in this passage where we're looking at, 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17, it says, you are God's temple. So first and foremost, one, we have to recognize that God is the authority. He is authority. And until we recognize the character of God and the Word of God, there will not be any movement.
Right.
I mean, it will not happen. Once we recognize that, it's recognizing who we are in God. And in God, I'm a temple.
Mm-hmm.
In God, you're a temple. We are a temple. And then taking it to the next one is recognizing that because God is holy, God is other, and He has made me holy, and He has separated me out as other, I have a responsibility to protect that which God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
And to guard the trust that He has enabled me to have be in His portable sanctuary. And then once I recognize that I am sacred, I am less likely to make choices that are going to hurt that which is of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's a process of retraining, doing the Romans 12, 1 through 2, and being transformed by the renewing of your minds and making it happen. Mm-hmm. Were you guys discussing
We were talking about that was her verse when we walked in here.
Awesome. So that's your life verse?
I think it's becoming my life verse.
I love it. Just affirmed it right now.
That's awesome. Okay, so what is the testimony that you give as you walk through your day? What is it when we walk by through our day? And, you know, I told you guys I was at my daughter's National Honor Society induction, and Mr. Nihlis, he's the choir director for our school, and he just looked at the parents and he said, you know, Scripture says Noah walked with God. What do people say of you when they watch you, just as you're going about your day at the gas station or the grocery store, or, you know, wherever you're at work, in the hallways at school, students, when you're doing your schoolwork, do they say of you, you walk with God?
I hope they do, but I know there's times when I don't.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's awareness.
But it's an
awareness
of
people
overall.
Are always watching.
Yeah. But it's also not putting that, like, comparing either. And then also, if that one person doesn't like you, that doesn't value or say who you are. I mean, not everyone is going to see the goodness of God in you, because they might not, you know, you're just passing by. So you can't value so much about what other people are saying. But at the same time, it's like, what does God at the end of the day?
Yeah. Because it is our testimony. The testimony is the reflection of his presence in us. And if our testimony is not reflecting that, we have to go back and say why. Why? We have just about 1 minute.
What is that? There's a verse. It's like, don't cause your brother to stumble.
Anybody have it on the top of their heads? Not at the moment.
I don't know. But anyway, that was the, because it's like, if we can't do, I mean, and we shouldn't, you know, put this image out there that we can, if we, you know, if we're going to tempt our brothers and sisters in Christ to be doing something that we know isn't a good thing for them or for the body of Christ.
Right.
We're supposed to be encouragers.
That's
right.
I know sometimes when people are negative comments to me or whatever, I try to change the subject or think of something more encouraging or something, but boy, that can drag you down. You know, when you're excited about something and they're not too excited, I guess.
It's important that we are, and we're going to find next week that that is part of our walk through the day, what it looks like. So we're going to look next week, what does our testimony look like? What does Scripture tell us it should look like as we are going about our day? Because he tells us clearly what it should look like. We're so glad you listened to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.